Blog Talk Radio.
We've got film. We've got psychology. We put the two of those together and we've got filmcology. We're going to take an hour or so to take a look at the characters and the events that are surrounding them and see if maybe there might be something there we can use to apply in our own lives. So join me and let's jump on in.
Hello, everybody, and this is the beginning of Filmcology. This is our first show on the Essence of Success Network, and the film that I picked, it was not a real well-thought-out film. It was in my queue on Netflix, and I'll use Netflix a lot for this when it's not something that happens to come on TV. And it really was an incredible movie. It was an incredible movie. And the movie is really a good movie for somebody who has experienced quite a lot of but if you've experienced some kind of assault or some kind of crime that has been perpetrated upon you, this might be a good movie to look at, just so that you can, I think you can relate to the main character in the film. One of the main characters in the film. So let me give you a bit of a synopsis about Noise. There were two movies made in 2007 called Noise, but this is the Australian movie, and what happens in the beginning of the movie is you see a woman basically getting ready. She's walking with headphones on, and she goes and she gets onto a subway, and she barely pays attention to what's going on around her, which a lot of us do when we ride the bus or the subway or a train. And then she notices that somebody sort of falls over, and the whole thing starts right there. She realizes when she tries to attend to this woman that there were actually other dead bodies just sprinkled about in the compartment that she was in, which is it's really horrifying, because now she's on the subway that's moving. She has no idea what's going on, and she has no idea if there's even anyone still in the compartment with her that did all these horrific, that murdered all these people. So then the movie basically progresses with her being the one survivor, the way the police basically attend to the scene of the crime. When they first come upon the scene of the crime, their response is, I guess that would be something that would be interesting to see what other people's perspectives would be. They pretty much respond as if she were the one who murdered all these people. She's moving, she's alive, and she's on the train with people who are all dead. I would imagine that most police would react as if she had done it. And then it's the whole process that she goes through with the police, who do things that actually put her in harm's way and several times. And how she's trying to deal with it on top of the post-traumatic stress disorder that she's also experiencing. I have to say, I had a nightmare and when I saw this film, because it was, it reminded me of a personal experience I had. I was attacked when I used to work on the bus system, the city bus system, where in the main city near where I live. And before the assault, I had a premonition of the assault happening. Then after the assault, I had constant nightmares of being places where all of a sudden I'd wake up and I was completely unsafe. I'd either wake up and I would be in a three-walled shack on the beach and people were walking around and coming and going, or I would wake up and I was in a house that was basically just the bone structure of the house, just the beams and everything, just the skeleton of the house. There was no walls, but there were lights, the lights they hang in houses and things like that when they're working on it. And there would always either there'd be blood somewhere or I'd wake up in a house that had walls, but people were all of a sudden walking through as if they somehow had a right to. And so the nightmare that I had after I saw this movie, I haven't had one of these in many years. I woke up and my front door was open and the house was all dark, and I assumed that whoever had come in the house was upstairs, and it was dark upstairs. I couldn't see. It was really quite frightening. And you might be thinking, well, why would, if I had been attacked, why would I want to actually see that? Well, it's probably one of the things that happens to people who have PTSD, whether you're a soldier who's been deployed and come back stateside, and or you experience some horrific climactic catastrophe like Hurricane Katrina or Hurricane Sandy or the tsunami, it's hard to talk about as it is, and it's hard for other people who have no experiences with PTSD to understand how frightened you can be or how frustrating it can be that people don't understand. They don't understand how little things that people do, they say, the proximity that they want to be to you, how it can just make you want to jump out of your skin, and how unnerving it can be. It's almost like when you see a film that has some form of PTSD or somebody who's gone through something that was very similar to what you've gone through, what it does is it helps you to feel not so alone, even if it's a wee bit traumatizing. And while I am not currently a doctor, and I am currently training to be a psychologist, I would just, from my own philosophical standpoint as a professional, my thought process is that it's really cathartic and it is healing, even if it is emotional, to have to watch something where somebody's going through something quite similar to you. So, if you've experienced any kind of PTSD, if you've experienced any kind of assault, if you've been through any of those catastrophic type climactic changes, these are the kind of things that would position you well to possibly watch this. Again, you may not really agree, but if you've got PTSD, you really need to find some way to connect with somebody who's either been there or a situation so that you can understand that you're not alone. That's a real big thing. Okay, we do have a caller, and we're from 253. I'm going to go ahead and see if the caller wants to join in to the conversation. One moment. And if you'd like to join in the conversation, the call-in number is 646-727-2914. Looks like we have two callers, so I'm going to bring in the two callers. Just a word of caution, everybody. Sometimes when we're talking, there can be sort of a breakout. So when you're talking, if you're calling in, just wait a moment until you hear a spacer and then start talking, just, you know, for a quick minute or whenever you're going to talk. One moment here. We've got 253 and 303 on the line, and welcome to Filmcology.
Okay. Hi, this is Lennis.
Hi, Lennis.
How are you? Called in to comment on your film. I didn't see it, but I did read about it, and you're right, it is through PTSD, because that lady was going through that after what she saw.
Right.
Yeah. And then the other guy that had the tendonitis or whatever in his ear.
It's called tinnitus?
Tinnitus. Okay, thank you. I didn't think I was pronouncing it correctly. And that was something, too, because he had to deal with that almost like a handicap it was for him.
Yes.
You know.
And
it, so.
I'll talk about tinnitus in a minute for
okay.
People who may not quite understand that disorder. And we also have another caller in from 303. Are you wanting to speak
as
well? Hi.
Yes, I do.
Lydia.
Hi, Brenda. How are you? It's Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
Hi, Lennis.
Well, the gang's all here. Just a quick side note. These two people, you're likely to hear pretty quickly because Lennis is the head of Essence of Success. And we enjoy her on Sundays and Wednesdays and Fridays. And we'll talk about that schedule more towards the end. And Lydia is bringing us A Time to Love on Saturdays. And as I said, we'll talk about that schedule later. But they're all from the Essence of Success Radio Network. And this is one of the shows. Every Thursday at 4 o'clock, we're talking about film and psychology, the characters and the events of the movies that can either help, hurt you, or entertain you. Just anyway. So welcome, ladies, and thank you so much for your support.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed the movie. First of all, I could look at Tim Robbins all day long. He's a hunk.
Oh,
and
you know what? Can I jump in real quickly, sweetie?
Yeah.
You watched the American movie that is completely different and unrelated. And the movie that is the Australian film Noise. They were both made in the same year.
I know.
Were they alike in any way?
It's a very serious drama, and it dealt with mostly PTSD and the police and the events that can happen when somebody's been assaulted. So
that movie too. The American movie was similar to that.
Yes, I know about the Tim Robbins film for somebody who was just, he actually, lost it. But I haven't seen it. I've just seen the trailer. So I apologize if anybody was misled and I wasn't very clear, but I'd certainly be better.
I might not have been able to get the other one anyway. I have live streaming on Amazon, and I might not have been able to get that other one anyway.
Oh, I'm not sure.
I don't have Netflix.
Yeah, well, it's from 2007, so usually those movies, if it's on Netflix, usually you can just see it almost anywhere else, but or it'll be on TV. So I don't know that it's ever been on TV. I've never heard of it before. But let me just bring up a few points, if you just bear with me. Tinnitus is what happened in the film. There was a police officer in the film who had tinnitus. And it's not necessarily something you're born with. It's something that actually takes place because there's usually some other underlying problem that somebody has physically. They alluded to it in the film that he might possibly have a tumor or some form of cancer that's causing it. But it could be something as simple as just maybe even a pinched nerve, possibly. It's a bizarre occurrence. And if you don't know anything about tinnitus, which actually I would believe that most people know something about it because it occurs in 1 in 5 people.
I'm one of the five.
Yeah. Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, yeah. And it causes there's a ringing or a sound, and it can be excruciating for some people, or it can just be an intermittent, all of a sudden you sort of get a ring. Most people have sort of gotten some little aspect of that where you have like a little ring, you don't know where it's coming from, and then it's gone within a few seconds or a few minutes. But this person had a real severe case. So it also added to the complications in the film with this woman who was the lone survivor of this horrific crime. There's something like 8 people that were murdered on this train. So let me just go over this real quickly with you and Lennis, Lydia. Basically, this woman's a lone survivor of this attack on a train. The person who murdered all these people was, as you go through the film and she's remembering aspects of it, you begin to see that he was, obviously he was very disturbed. At one point he held the gun to his head and then he held it to her head. And nobody could figure out, why this person let her live. The other people that were dead, they actually had already been killed before she boarded the train. And she couldn't remember even when the guy left. And she had a big portrait of herself, a picture that had her name on it, and he took that portrait. Nobody knew why. But just imagine you've been assaulted, and I think that we can relate to this. You've been assaulted. The person who assaulted you has a picture of you and your name. And they're not caught by the police. So they're out there. And you have no idea when they could or might come back and get you, even though they don't know where you live. So then things keep happening where this girl is getting compromised for instance, she goes to a police lineup and she picks out someone who looks similar, but she's experiencing PTSD. Her memory has issues. And then the guy who was picked came after her to scare her. And when she's already terrified. And then he explains that he got her name and were off of the login sheet when he went in for a lineup. He didn't even know why he went in for a lineup, but he knew that some woman had identified him, and he happened to see her and heard someone say something. So, yeah, the police, I'm not saying that the police are always as inept, but I think things happen where they just sort of drop the ball, either because something else is going on or they just don't really take it very seriously. Okay, hold on just a second.
Okay.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you've seen the movie, the Australian film, The Noise, I welcome you to call in at 646-727-2914. And this is Filmcology, and we're discussing the film Noise, the Australian film Noise from 2007, that involved a horrific murder. What do you call that, ladies, when it's several people? Massacre.
Yeah.
So there was a massacre, and the experiences of this woman and the police officers that were off the hook, off the chain, rude, obnoxious, and inept. And the police officer who had a problem and began to take the whole situation more seriously. And what's interesting about this whole film is they actually come in contact with this guy, and he's just, I would classify him as, in mental health field, we call them people who death by suicide. So they do things to get the police to murder them because they don't apparently find it really difficult to kill themselves. So they kill other people
death
or do
cop.
Something to get the police.
Yeah,
it's
I was
suicide
say,
by
death
cop.
By cop. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
By
what
cop.
Did I say?
You said
did I say suicide by murder?
No, you said death by suicide.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah,
suicide by cop.
Yeah, I used to work at a crisis clinic, and I had a couple clients that were constantly trolling to end their lives. So anyways, I know that there are some aspects we could talk about, even if you haven't seen the film. What do you think about the fact that the police don't protect clients' information more carefully? I can see how it could happen where you have a login sheet and anybody could see that or possibly observe that if they lean over or they're standing behind you. When you come in,
well,
you don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that, I think that has to be changed. No one should be able to see that except the person at the desk. I know there's mistakes that are made, and I don't know if they do that anymore, but I really believe that nobody should be able to see that. There are criminals there. The criminal element is in police stations, and some of them, it's just too dangerous. I think more should be done to protect victims. It's just my opinion.
Yeah, I do too.
I agree. I mean, I had an experience where
and support victims, support them too, but that's another whole thing.
And advocacy. They do have advocacy program for crimes, but I don't trust the police as far as when something like that, like there's multiple deaths and a person is witnessing it and knows about it, how much are they really going to protect that person? They tell you, oh, yeah, you're under police custody. You don't have to worry. Nobody bothers you. Yep, but people still die in police custody. I mean, supposedly. Yeah. You know, not supposedly.
Right.
I mean, I know it does happen. So I agree with Lydia. Like, how much are you telling? You shouldn't be telling anything about this person. I mean, have you noticed that when they have the people on TV, just a quick sidebar, and they supposedly have a wig on or dark glasses or a hood or whatever, so while they're the news person is interviewing them, you don't know who it is. Please, you probably know what that person looks like, the size of their body, their voice. You know what I'm saying? How much are you? And then when they talk to them, it's like, well, you just about to give the person away who it is.
Yeah.
So why even bring a person on? Just have an interview without the individual there so they don't even know whether it's a male or female, black, white, what. But they don't. So
right.
Now where's the protection for that individual?
Now, I have seen it, Lennis, where they will really darken the face where you can't really see it, and they also distort the voice. And I think that's good, but there's probably a machine you could have on your computer where you could play it and undistort it. I don't know. You know, it's just, if people want to do evil, they want to do evil, and sometimes there's no protection.
Yes, yes. And that's hard on a person that's going through that PTSD, to think that there's no protection. Are they going to be there to help me? You know.
After I was assaulted two months later, and it was on the same bus route, I lived on the bus route, but... 2 months later, when I did go back to work, that's when somebody rammed my car. They turned around. It turned out to be a drunk driver, but I was on my way home from work, and I didn't know. Because they never caught the man who assaulted me, and I didn't know if they knew it was me or not. And that was, so then that just re-traumatizes your whole situation. You don't really know. And I often would close my curtains. I mean, I got to the point where curtains had to be closed all the time, and I didn't want to turn my lights on because I was afraid that somebody could see in my window, even though I was on the third floor. And I was constantly peering, trying to make sure that somebody wasn't out in the woods next to my place just watching me. And then going out to your car, which you know, most people don't think about at all, going out to their car. They come and go as they please. But once you've been assaulted or raped or even if you've been through something like Katrina or something like that, your senses are beyond heightened. Everything is different. How you feel things, what you're aware of is just not the same anymore. So, and I know someone else that I love very dearly. I know a few people I know very dearly who have experienced either war trauma from being a soldier, trauma from also being a bus driver, where they actually were beaten into a coma, and all the memory issues are just—it's beyond belief what you go through. And one of the things that came out constantly with this young lady in the film is the way the police would either just not tell her all the information; they wouldn't share it. Or they would just sort of gloss over however she was feeling or whatever she was thinking. Nothing she had to say mattered or it was unlikely. To me, I believe that while I don't believe all police officers mean to do this, they re-traumatize the victim with the way they question.
Yes.
And the way they handle them.
That's why it's good when in the larger cities, a lot of times, at least in the United States, they do have advocates. My husband was a DA for 21 years, and they had victim advocates, and those victim advocates were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Does he, I mean, it was just if you don't mind my asking, I mean, were there ever any cases, or would you have known, or is that something that victims could do, is actually have some kind of, get some kind of order or something to protect them from the way the police deal with the victims? Is that solely a victim's advocate that would do that, or could they have some kind of legal action? Do you know?
I don't know my husband's area of expertise. However, I don't think it's good that you have an advocate, and in Denver, the advocates do, strongly go out of their way to advocate, but I don't think there's any recourse for, and they will still see terrible questioning and invasive things go on. Until we all get more educated about what a victim goes through, I think that there's always going to be some more re-victimization. It's not conscious. It's just, a short time ago when, a woman was raped, it was not always taken seriously. If she was cut up very bad or, beat up to unconsciousness, they might take it seriously. And I think there are policemen, men in particular, that, they might have had a sister or a mother or someone dear to them that had gone through it, and they are more, they have more feelings for that. But I think it's an educational process.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
For many of us, if it doesn't touch home, we explain it away. We don't want to believe that it could happen to us.
True that.
Oh, now see, now that's an interesting thing that you're bringing up, Mona, and that's one of the, like, people do certain things to make sure that they can tell themselves that it did not happen to them, or it could not happen to them. They call that distancing. In psychology, you're trying to distance yourself from the situation, so then they have a lot of, there are people that are around, either family members or friends, who will offer all these things you should have or could have done to keep yourself from being raped or assaulted or beaten up or whatever. And I'm sure even with Katrina and Sandy, how many people, were constantly like, oh, those people should have left town weeks ago. There's a lot of things that people who are not in the situation that love to talk about the situation,
not knowing what really developed or what they had to deal with,
Not forgetting that many people, and especially poor people, do not have cars.
Yeah.
Thank you. Or the whereabouts to even get out of there, For some people, they didn't have a way to get out.
They had no way.
And when you think about that, if that's not PTSD, when there's a possibility you could really die, a flooding, something like that, then what do you do? That's got to prevail on you too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was bringing that up because when you're saying that one of the other things that, like, for instance, with rape, date rape specifically, I found out that women will actually go as far as seeing that guy again just to keep themselves from having to face the fact that they were date raped, that they were actually raped. So they'll go as far as a month long or 6 month long type of strange relationship I mean, which if, it's just horrific that somebody
yeah.
would even consent to actually being touched by somebody who had done that to them. But that fear.
But they, and that is so much, you know, as women, we want to blame ourselves a lot of times. There could be men, too. I'm not going to just make it one, you know, sex. But as women, I believe that we take the fault a lot of time. Oh, it must have been my fault. And as a younger woman, I distinctly remember feeling that, you know, strange situations were somehow my fault. I never, you know, I did berate myself.
Yeah, I've been there too. So yeah,
and I think as a mom now, I'm a mom of a boy, but I've talked to him. You know, when he was younger, I've said to him, "No means no," and you know, and talked with him freely about all kinds of things. Told him about a date rape judge. Told him about these situations and how to, you know, if he has a friend and they're out together, just a friend, be careful. Make sure that that person gets home safely and to be the man. But as a woman, my friends and I, we had one of our dear friends has a daughter, and when she became, you know, a woman, we actually gathered and we gave her advice that we wished we would have had. And one
Amen.
Of us, it might have been me, did talk about how, you know, always have your wits about you, have someone to protect you, and actually talk very frankly about date rape drugs and date raping. And, you know, it was probably a shocker for her, but it needs to be talked about. It needs to be talked about with our young women.
I agree. I mean, what a blessing that she got, huh, Lenis?
Oh, gosh,
yep.
She did. It was so great. It was so
yeah.
great. It was beautiful. We just welcomed her in, and we had a ceremony, and we wrote down in her journal. We gave her a journal, but we wrote down advice that we wished we would have gotten from our mothers.
Yeah. So with this show, this movie, there were other psychological things that were going on. One of the things that happened, which I thought was really interesting, is the police officer who had tinnitus, he turned in the paperwork to his boss, and his boss just basically poo-pooed it and treated him like, so what? And he didn't even understand what tinnitus was. He didn't really believe it was real. And he was supposed to be put on light duty because this police officer literally, the tinnitus became so bad that he would actually lose consciousness. And he fell and it cut his head one time on an escalator. But his boss just ignored it or basically treated him like dirt. And so then his next step was to put him in this, well, in Australia, I think, they do this. It's not something I've seen in America. They actually have like a trailer, a RV, a little small RV trailer, and they would sit it outside an area where they wanted to sort of observe or question the people, and they would give them, you could get free condoms or a cookie if you would come in and give an interview or for them to question you because the woman, there was another woman who was murdered who lived somewhere nearby. And it was just this whole attitude for your employer that, like, you know, whatever you've got doesn't really seem like it's that real to me. And I could see how both tinnitus and PTSD would be, you know, issues that an employer would just disregard. I don't know if either of you have had that kind of experience with an employer.
No, not like that. But, you know, it tipped him over the edge, I think. Isn't that why he killed that racist guy? He was racist, but also his tendonitis was bothering him. tinnitus. I'm sorry, I'm not saying it correctly.
Yeah. No, it's tinnitus, but in Australia, the way they said it in the film, it sounds really different. But here in the States, we normally call it tinnitus. But I at least that's all I've ever heard of pronounce it. But he didn't actually kill a racist. He shot a man who was beating up on a Down syndrome kid who was everyone in the neighborhood knew him, but he was really pretty slow. And they were picking on him. It was actually a hate crime. And I don't know, maybe, I don't know what they would call it in Australia. But he ended up shooting at that guy, but he couldn't hear it. And there was another guy who was in the trailer who said, can you hear that? But, which, you know, if you think about it, that boss, he actually compromised the people in the community. Because this guy can't hear right
mm-hmm.
when the tinnitus
right.
starts. He can't hear anything. And the guy who just happened to be in his trailer said, you can't hear that? And he's like, hear what? And the more that the other guy went looking, and then you could hear people hooping it up, and they were beating up this little, this kid was just like stick. And these were big guys, older men, just, you know, people who just, I don't know what to say about that. I'm not going to say anything negative, so.
You know,
so, yeah.
I've had the experience of a boss not believing, you know, my illness. And my sister, who has fibromyalgia, she had it before it really became a diagnosis. And basically they were stymied by it, and they basically kind of left her feeling like she was completely crazy. And now, you know, it is a diagnosis, and a lot of people know about it because people have it. And mine was just, you know, I'd get, you know, my cycle would come due, and, I mean, I'd be hurting. I'd be hurting bad. Now, I usually did my job, but, boy, I could have stayed at home with a heating pad on. And, you know, they would just roll their eyes like, you know, they just didn't understand.
Nope.
You know, I had a boss who was really, really, you know, she was nasty. And one time we were out socially, and she told me that she had premenstrual syndrome, where she said she only felt normal about 5 days a month. And that explained a lot to me, and I had a lot more compassion for her.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, so we just don't even know what people go through sometimes, and I've never had. It's funny that you mentioned the tinnitus. I have tinnitus. It's a psychic tool for me. It's weird, but I know what it is. I mean, I know what tinnitus is because when someone's thinking of me or about ready to call me, I get that ringing in my ears for I don't know, a few seconds. And then literally, you know, like a few seconds later, the phone rings, or I'll talk to someone, and they said, yeah, I was thinking about you. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's never been longer than seconds, but, yeah, no, I've had where it goes, it's like a high-pitched, you know, ringing in my ears.
Right. That's it.
Well, what's good about movies like this, or movies in general, is this, that these are, we're talking about all these different scenarios, the treatment of the police, the way bosses are, the disorder of PTSD, the disorder of tinnitus, and the different things that the characters are feeling and the situations are all things that we can apply in our own lives. Whether you see a film and you have, is nothing you've ever experienced, but you could actually take that and think, well, maybe that could happen to somebody, sort of like Lydia was saying with her boss. It gave her compassion for this person to actually know and understand why she was constantly so nasty. And that's why I think that it's really important for people to look at movies, not just for entertainment, but what you can get from them. You know, I mean, you're looking at a movie for entertainment. Why not consider some of the other aspects and how you could use it? We've all seen comedies, and we just think that they're a laugh and they're a hoot, but most comedies, as most comedians do, they use real-life situations that seem like they're far over the edge, but they're hilarious because most of us have experienced it, whether it's a mother-in-law that seems like she was, you know, born in the pit of hell, or a husband who, you know, has not, you know, like there, he has never thought of his wife as anything more than someone to get him a beer and to clean his clothes. These are all things that happen in real life, and we laugh at it. Yeah. So I welcome people to just really take a second look at film. Maybe you watch a film the first time and just enjoy it for entertainment purposes. But then maybe at some point you take another chance to look at it and to see what can I get out of it. I can't really see too many films out there that you couldn't.
I agree. And to me, the watching a film is art. And I'm an artist, and I believe that art is around for, first of all, the artist to express his, her feelings, and second of all, to have the viewer, no matter what medium it is, feel something. If it's comedy, they're feeling joy, laughter, giddiness. If it's something serious, they might feel their own, you know, they might connect with it, or they've never had it, but they're going to feel for that person. I think it connects, art connects us as a human species. I love it.
Yeah. To become more aware of our emotions and thoughts, things like that. Lennis and I, when we did her show yesterday, we were talking to one of her callers about doing art to help ground her out of some of the hurt and emotions that she was feeling.
Emotions, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it can help, you know, pull it out of there, make you more aware. Being aware is half the battle right there. Once you're aware, you can go somewhere from there, but if you're sort of closed off and ignoring it, you're building a tornado.
Yeah, you are.
So this is
funny that you said. I'm sorry. That you said grounding. I would have told that woman she needs to get her hands in some clay. That's the earth, you know. Now, of course, that's my medium. But a woman once told me, an astrologer told me that it's very interesting that I throw the earth around because I have no earth signs in my chart, and she said it's very grounding for you, and it truly has been in my life. It's been it was a godsend and still is a godsend.
I actually did tell her to possibly work with clay.
Cool.
Probably because of the conversation you and I had before that, which I think is just a great suggestion. The other thing to me about movies is to get in touch with emotions that maybe, let's say you're having a night where you're feeling exceptionally lonely, you're feeling really down, and you just don't know what to do with yourself. If you pop in a tearjerker, like one of my friends, Marlene, she and her mom in the Bridges of Madison County, she goes, oh, man, we just have to go get the hordes of Kleenex. And she says, oh, my mom and I just cry our eyes out. You know that you're going to cry. You know it's one of those movies that makes you cry. And crying is quite cathartic.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of
sitting there and
just feeling like your life is, or dreaming up problems because you're feeling down, go watch a tearjerker. Cry, mm-hmm. get it out. Think about how bad things are for that character, and like, you know, maybe I don't have it so bad. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a tearjerk. It could be an uplifting film too. Now
mm-hmm.
we have about just under 9 minutes, and it's a good time for anybody else to offer anything, and we'll take probably the last 5 minutes. So we have about 5 minutes, but the last 5 minutes, and I'd like us to talk about our upcoming shows, so that would be really cool too. So for the next few minutes, ladies, any thoughts, any ideas, any thoughts about Filmcology, suggestions?
I just want to say for today, that's a good film, and from Lydia's point of view, is that we need more advocacy for people that do suffer from PTSD from different walks of life, from military to domestic issues, you know, that we definitely need more advocacy work so that people will come forward like her and her friends did to help the young lady. That might prevent some of the I don't want to say just rape, but abuse, period, for women, because you don't have to be raped.
Mm-hmm.
It could be domestic violence, you know, or like you, Brenda, getting beat up on your job. So, but the advocacy is so important that people know that there is somewhere to go. Somebody will stand behind them and help them through this, and don't look at, because what you've had to deal with, oh, it's no big thing. Yeah, well, somebody else has it. Well, everybody's different in this world, and we all deal with
mm-hmm.
things in different ways. So it's nice to know if there's someone there that can help.
Right.
And all I have,
you know,
to say.
I would suggest if you don't even have the money, you know, go down the list in the Yellow Pages under counselors. I would go with psychology first. That's my profession, but it mostly because I'm not the drugs are come in with psychology. But I think the first line of defense is usually a counselor, a psychologist. Then if things get more serious and you do need drugs, then you go to the psychiatrist. But if you don't have the money or you don't have your insurance, it should include it nowadays. But if not, just ask the therapist, you know, is there any way that we can work something out? Because I really need to see someone. I mean, money shouldn't be the reason that you don't get help.
Thank you. Thank you.
But
so,
sadly, it is for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is.
Small place.
It is, Lydia.
And maybe we should do, instead of a rape crisis line, we should have abuse lines. I mean, I know if you're being abused by a boyfriend or husband, even if it's just verbal, there are groups that will help you. But, you know, it could be a boss. It could be, you know, anybody. I just think that we just need to have more awareness as a society. I really think we talked about this before, Brenda, about, you know, we really need to have a discourse about mental health in this country. And it should be part of your physical health because it is very much. If you're suffering from PTSD, let me tell you, you are unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you're creating
the
seeds of disease in your body because of your anxiety or your stress levels or any of that.
Yes, you're definitely out of balance. And one of the things I was talking about PTSD with a good friend the other day, and although she was in the Air Force, she wasn't aware that for the soldiers that have come back stateside from Iraq and Afghanistan, that they're actually, every 18 minutes, a soldier is committing suicide. from, you know, this is PTSD. This is a PTSD issue specifically. And they're not getting the help they need, and there's no reason they should be committing suicide because they're not getting mental help. And, you know, the other side of the coin is most family members and friends, because they don't see your arm missing or a leg missing, they often forget over time that, you know, okay, yeah, you had a hard time and you're kind of, you know, sad or something. But PTSD is just as permanent as a missing arm. You never know when it's going to rear its ugly head. You never know what's going to cue you into a response. It gets lesser and lesser with time and treatment, especially the earlier the treatment you get, which is sad to say, not happening with most soldiers. So it's a very serious and can be very fatal disorder. So, anyways, we've got 3 minutes and 48 seconds. Get out there and see that movie. Try to find it if you can. It's from Australia. It's 2007, and it's called Noise. And you'll know because it has to do with the tragic massacre. Okay, so now we're going to switch gears real quickly, since I have these two lovely ladies on the phone, and talk about the Essence of Success Network so that you understand what's coming up. So, Lenis, why don't you tell us about your network?
Okay, well, it's the Essence of Success Radio Network that's bringing you shows to empower you, to teach you, and also hopefully to expand your knowledge of life as we live it every day. So on Sunday, we have my In the Studio, and that's going to be entertainment, news, sports, and whatever the hot topic issue is. And Tuesday, Brenda comes on with Bring Your Own Brilliance, which is a great show. I would tell people to please not only call in, but contact Brenda to interview you and share your experience of your brilliance with everybody else. Wednesday is a psychic reading for 1 hour. We have free psychic readings, one question per caller. Don't always work like that, but we try. And then Thursday is Filmcology with Brenda, where she takes a film, dissects it, and relates it to how we live every day. And you know what, folks, that's not hard, because you watch TV or you go to the movies. So I would tell you to tune in and get a better understanding of what you're watching and how it may apply to your everyday life. Friday is Traffic Jam Fridays for 30 minutes. I'm going to play music and leave work, and by the time you get home, hopefully you got a smile on your face. And Saturday we have Lydia Love to, wait a minute, Lydia, I'm sorry, Time to Love, right. And if you people don't understand what love is, you better call her, and that's at 3 o'clock. CST time, and get on the line 646-727-2914 and talk to Lydia, because love is what's going to see us through, folks. Hopefully make this a better world in which we live. So Lydia's on at 2 o'clock Friday. Write that down. Brenda's on, I mean, Lydia's on Saturday. I'm sorry, at 3 p.m. CST time. I'm on Friday at 3 o'clock. Thursday, Brenda's show, Filmcology, is on at 4 p.m., and that's PST time. My psychic reading is 3 o'clock Wednesday, PST. Tuesday, Brenda BYOB, Bring Your Own Brilliance, is at 2 p.m. And, of course, Sunday, I'm on at 3 o'clock in the studio. So I hope everyone joins us and calls in and let us know how we're doing. This is our first month and first week of the shows. Go ahead, Brenda.
Yeah. Okay. Lydia, you got about 20 seconds. Do you have anything to say about your show?
I say tune in at 3 o'clock Mountain Standard Time and learn about how to love yourself a little bit more. I like to say that I'm your lighthouse of love. I am teaching, guiding, motivating you to loving yourself more.
All right. That's awesome. So see you tomorrow on Friday traffic jam, and see you on Saturday for Time to Love. That's it, right, everybody.
Now, wait before I let you go real quick. Lydia, is that 2 o'clock your time or 3 o'clock?
No, 3 o'clock my time.
It'll be what? 2
at Mountain Standard.
Okay. All right. Just want to get it correct. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back at you, Miss Brenda.
Okay, well, that's it for the show. It's ended.
Okay, thank you. It was a good show, Brian.
Thank you, ladies.
I'm sorry I watched the wrong thing.
Well, excuse me, what?
Brenda, I'm sorry I watched the wrong thing. What a doofus. I saw Australia, and then the guy, the director, kind of had a strange name, and I was thinking I was watching the right thing. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I mean, I understood, and I didn't write up like I normally do for the movies, but there's a lot going on this week, so I'll get in the step of things and be more clear. Usually I put trailers and things like that so you have a better identifier. So I'm looking. Yeah. I'm really excited, ladies. I think we're really doing this. We're really on top.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
So I really appreciate you helping me with this one today.
Oh, yeah.
So
we're going to support one another, no doubt.
We'll see you on Friday Jams tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later. Love y'all.
Not, but I'll be here. Love you, too.
Okay.
See you, Brenda.
Bye-bye.
Bye, honey.